The Power of Persuasion, written by Sandrine Shaw, read by Raven. Summary. Damien made a promise to Father that he wouldn't adopt any more pets for the time being, but the cat is clearly in need of help. Father would surely agree that helping always takes priority. Still, it's probably expedient to keep it a secret, for now. Damien finds the cat just outside the manor when he comes home from school. It's hiding underneath the bushes by the gate, a black ball of unruly fur, underfed and clearly not used to humans by the way it refuses to let itself be coaxed. When he brings it some of the tuna Alfred loves so much, the stray cat backs away and eyes it like Damien is trying to poison it. "You don't have to be afraid," Damien assures it in his best soothing tone. He slowly moves the food bowl closer to the cat. Narrowed green eyes follow his every move. "Did someone hurt you? I wish you could tell me who it was so I can make them pay." The cat makes a low, drawn-out hissing sound. Damien made a promise to Father that he wouldn't adopt any more pets for the time being, but the cat is clearly in need of help. Father would surely agree that helping always takes priority. Still, it's probably expedient to keep it a secret for now. He remembers how Mother once told him that asking for forgiveness is a more serviceable approach than asking for permission. And while Damien has learned to be skeptical of his league teachings, he has seen his brothers employ the same strategy enough times to convince him of its efficiency. The first thing the cat does when Damien carries it inside is sink its little claws into Damien's hand. "Why would you?" It's more surprise than pain that makes him let go, and the cat immediately makes use of the opportunity to jump from his arms. It runs down the corridor too quick even for Damien's formidable reflexes, so fast around the corner that it slithers on the polished wooden floor. Damien hurries after it, but when he turns, there's no trace of it. He might have miscalculated. The manor is big. He's always known that. When he first came here, it took him almost a month to stop getting lost among the wings and corridors and staircases. Not that he ever told anyone. If Father or Pennyworth found him in a place where he hadn't meant to go, he just confidently told them he was exploring his new home. He just never realized before how many hiding spots there are, and how hard it is to check them all without anyone else noticing. "Are you looking for something, Master Damien?" Pennyworth inquires when he spots Damien trying to peek underneath the couch as stealthily as possible. Not stealthily enough to escape Pennyworth's keen observance, apparently. Abandoning covertness, Damien bends further down. It doesn't only give him a better view of the empty space underneath the couch, it also has the added advantage of hiding his face from Pennyworth when he says, "My copy of The Art of War. Drake borrowed it last week, and now it's missing." It's a lie. His copy is on the shelf where it belongs, but Drake has gone incommunicado with the family since last week, probably fighting with Father again and sulking in his nest like the immature teenager he is, and will therefore be unable to contradict Damien's story and set the record straight. "Do you want me to help you look for it?" Pennyworth offers, and Damien feels an embarrassing heat rise to his cheeks. No matter how comfortable he is to paint Drake as the bad guy, he really hates lying to Pennyworth. "Thank you for offering, but there's no need to waste both of our time." The smile he offers probably looks more like a grimace. "I'll just ask Drake when he deigns to grace us with his presence again." Half an hour later, after tiptoeing past Dick and Father arguing in the library, Damien finally catches a glimpse of black fur in the study. With a furtive glance up and down the corridor, he sneaks inside, just in time to see the cat trying to rub its face against the grandfather clock like it's trying to scent it. It's a blessing it didn't manage to open the door to the cave. Tracking a cat down in the manor is not an easy feat, but Damien shudders in horror at the thought of having to climb up the T-Rex to catch the runaway. He gently picks it up, mindful of its clawed little paws aiming for his face. It almost manages to slip out of Damien's hold again. "None of that," he says sternly, but it's hard to be strict when the cat is looking at him with wide blue eyes. "You've got the makings of a brilliant escape artist. I'm going to name you Houdini. He holds on tightly to contain another attempt to break away. Come on, we have to get you out of here before Father finds us and makes me find another home for you. The sound Houdini makes is such an unhappy mew. It's as if he understands what Damien said and agrees that it would be a highly undesirable outcome. Don't worry, Damien tells him. I'm not going to let that happen. For once, Houdini lets himself be carried off without trying to wiggle away. What happened to your hand? Grayson wants to know at dinner, reaching across the table. His fingers wrap gently around Damien's wrist as Grayson observes the red scrapes. If it had been anyone else, Damien's fork would already be embedded in the hand gripping his arm. Grayson's nosiness is driven by concern, though. He's too empathetic for his own good, and for Damien's good, in this case. It's nothing, he says, which is, of course, exactly the wrong thing to say, because it makes everyone else's attention shift towards him. Just a little scratch from patrol last night. Did you clean it properly? Grayson asks, immediately fussing over Damien as if he was a toddler, while Father frowns. Did you put it in the report? If the gloves didn't protect you, then we have to look into reinforcing the material, he says, and then goes off into a lecture about the difficulties of designing the gloves to be both flexible enough and highly protective. That's thankfully long enough to release Damien of the need to answer any questions. It's a good thing Drake's not here, because he'd find a way to redirect the attention back to Damien by pointing out that the gloves have always been fine and it must have been Damien's fault to let his attention slip. He wouldn't be wrong, of course. That's one of the most annoying things about Drake. He's rarely ever wrong. Not that Damien would speak those words out loud, even under pain of torture. Please be more careful in the future, Grayson says, but his tone is warm and worried. He finally unhands Damien, but only to reach up and ruffle his hair, laughing when Damien sputters and tries to duck away. Next to him, Todd rolls his eyes. Yes, Damien, be careful so that you won't perish from such a grave injury. Guys, it's a scratch. Civilian kids probably get worse from schoolyard scuffles. Bless Todd. At least one person in this family has some sense of perspective. The fact that his careless remark sets Grayson off on a rant about bullying and fighting at school and neatly distracts everyone from Damien's scratches is an added bonus. He sneaks Houdini some leftover chicken in his room when there's a cough from the direction of the door. Damien whips his head around to find Todd leaning in the doorway, eyebrow raised and his expression annoyingly smug. That's not Alfred the cat, he says. The sheer stupidity of specifying the cat, as if anyone would assume he was talking about Pennyworth, distracts Damien for a moment and almost makes him miss the window of opportunity to go for flat-out denial. Houdini tries to jump off the bed, probably afraid of the rude stranger intruding on his territory, but Damien catches him and pets his head to signal to him that he's safe here with him. I don't know what you're talking about. Of course it's Alfred. He doesn't have to feign irritation. Did you sustain a concussion, Todd? Nice try, Bat Brat, but Alfred has white paws and this one doesn't. So unless you've given it a dye job and also possibly shrunk it, it's not the same cat. Being from a family of detectives has its downsides. It's near impossible to keep secrets. It's taken less than a day for him to be busted. And the worst part is that it was Todd who figured it out, not Father or Pennyworth or even Grayson. Then again, maybe he can use it to his advantage. If you don't tell Father, I will not mention what you did on patrol last week. He levels a steel-eyed glare at Todd while continuing to steadily pet Houdini, smoothing the black fur. Todd frowns. Okay, fine. Your secret's safe with me. But you never breathe a word of what you saw. Gotcha? Damien sniffs. Sure. As long as you keep your end of the deal, I will keep mine. The trick is to sound confident. He has no idea what Todd was up to on his patrol, but it's Todd, so the chance of him doing something Father would not approve of in any given week is basically 100%. Damien only relaxes once Todd has left. He buries his face in Houdini's fur and tells him, "I'm not going to let them take you away." Houdini purrs softly, his tiny body vibrating against Damien's cheek. Houdini falls asleep at the foot of Damien's bed, curled up on the top of the divot. Damien watches him sleep and makes a plan how to win father over tomorrow. It's still dark out when he wakes up, so he tries to turn and catch another few minutes of slumber. The covers don't move with him the way they normally would, though, as if something heavy was holding it down. Damien sits up. In the dim light, he stares at the figure stretched out on his divot, body twisted into what looked like the most uncomfortable sleeping position. That's not Houdini. A flash of annoyance courses through him, followed by embarrassment, culminating in anger. "Drake!" he snaps. Drake blinks awake owlishly, looking at Damien, then down at his own hands, as if he'd never seen them before. "Oh, thank fuck," he exclaims crudely. "What are you doing in my room? What have you done with Houdini?" Damien demands to know. Even though he's fairly certain that he already knows the answers, just because he doesn't like them doesn't make them any less true. Drake gives him a pointed look. "I need coffee for this," he says, shaking his head and walking to the door. Damien almost reminds him not to let anyone catch him before he remembers that there's no need for stealth now. He's not harboring a stray anymore. There was never really a stray. None of it was real. Father is down in the cave, running a million checks on Drake, while Grayson hovers and fusses over him. Everyone is so relieved that Drake is all right and his run-in with some rogue magician didn't have any lasting consequences that no one really questions how he got back to the manor. And Drake himself has apparently decided to keep the knowledge of what happened close to his chest. Damien can't blame him. If their roles were reversed, then he wouldn't waste such excellent blackmail material either. He hides in his room, listlessly doodling, annoyed at the messy tangle of emotions he can't shake. It makes no sense to be angry with Drake. Drake didn't let himself get hit with a transformation spell to mess with Damien. It was stupid and naive to engage a meta with magical powers, but no more stupid and naive than Drake usually is. It makes even less sense to miss Houdini. Houdini never existed. It was always just Drake. He hears Todd's pointed cough behind him, but doesn't turn around. "So that cat last night was..." "We will never talk about this again," Damien commands. "Sure, or else you will tell Bruce that I followed his every rule to the letter on patrol last week. I'm shaking in fear." Todd's tone is wry, and the fact that he knew the whole time that Damien had nothing on him just adds insult to injury. Damien's shoulders slump. He looks at the cat doodle on his drawing block, and his eyes feel stupidly hot and wet. "Are you okay?" "Of course, Todd. Why wouldn't I be? Now please let me work. I have to finish an assignment for class." "Sure, little D. But, you know, it's okay to miss your cat. Even if the cat was just him." He closes the door behind himself before Damien can tell him that he does no such thing. He avoids Drake like the plague for a week before Drake finds him. Damien is sitting cross-legged in the garden by the gate, drawing in his sketchbook, when Drake crouches down next to him. "Hey, what do you want?" Perhaps this is the moment when Drake has decided how to use his blackmail ammunition. Damien expects some kind of outrageous demand, and not for Drake to say, "I just wanted to say thank you, you know, for picking Cat me up when I didn't know how to get inside, and for protecting me. That was very sweet. Not that I needed it." Damien scoffs. "Of course you needed protection. You were all but helpless. I almost clawed your face off." "You were scared of Todd, of all people." "I wanted to claw his face off, too. And unlike normally, I actually had claws," Drake points out. "Anyway, I have something for you." Damien looks up, eyeing him skeptically as he opens his stupid baseball jacket. A tiny little furry face peeks out, all black like Houdini, but green-eyed and looking distinctly less ill-fed and messy. Damien wants to reach for it and pet it. "I'm not allowed to adopt any new pets," he says instead, matter of fact. Drake shrugs. "I may have talked to B to get him to make an exception." The cat climbs out of his jacket, straight towards Damien. He holds out his hand and lets it scent him, rubbing his soft face against his palm. Fine, you're forgiven, Damien declares graciously, nodding at Drake before focusing his attention on Houdini II. The end. Thank you for listening.